Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the AusNZ Community Podcast. A very special episode for you tonight with crew member and second overseas guest of the podcast, Cthulhu, joining us. We look forward to chatting to him a little bit later on. But before we get into the episode, some shocking news overnight, and I want to pay tribute to the passing of King of Spin, Shane Warne, who tragically passed away this morning, age 52. For those of you who don't know who he is, he played the sport of cricket and is considered as one of the greatest of all time, taking 708 wickets at an average of 25.41. We also lost another cricketing great during the week in Rod Marsh, and some sad news that as well. So, rest in peace to both Warnie and Rod Marsh. Okay, so moving on. And as always, we welcome in to the show our co-hosts for the episode, Pete, Eva and Alpha. Welcome, gents. Glad to have you here. And I've got to tell you, I'm very excited about talking to Cthulhu a bit later on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, GTR. I almost called you Eva then. Yeah, great to be here. I'm really looking forward to talking to Cthulhu as well. Should be a good episode, I reckon. The man, the myth, the legend.
Absolutely, yeah. No, we're looking forward to talking to him. Eva, mate, welcome to the show.
Thanks, mate. It's good to be here again. And great to have someone of that calibre on the show, and looking forward to picking his brain as much as I can and getting as much out of it. It's great to have someone from overseas as well. I mean, you know, Rhys was nice, but it's good to have a proper player, and yeah, we'll see what we can do.
Absolutely. It's a great honour to have him on the show, and especially, you know, be involved in the pit crew. And I mean, we've got our own pit crew member, of course, as well, in Matebot Bros. He's floating around somewhere. I don't know where he is, but he'll pop on very soon, I'm sure.
When did Matebot Bro get into the pit crew?
He's got some sort of secret pit crew thing going on. He's been a member for a long time. Just nobody really knows about it. It's kind of like a secret.
It's a secret pit crew.
Well, I did make Murray.
That's true. He did too. Yeah. That's fair enough.
How did he make Murray with zeros and ones and no thumbs?
That's good point too. He's a magic man, mate, proper. Alfie, welcome, mate. Sorry, I was going to get into you, but I just got carried away there a bit. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Just finished my cricket semi-final.
How did that go, mate?
We lost in a very tight nail-biting match.
Unfortunate, buddy. That's no good, but that's all right.
How close was it?
How close
was the match?
Alpha, you there, buddy?
Yeah, I was just waiting for you two to decide who was talking.
It's okay. How close was it? Was it a good contest?
Yeah, it was a very good contest. Came down to about the third last ball.
Ooh, close.
Yeah, it's very good, mate. And you probably heard my opening speech there about the passing of Shane Warne. Quite shocking news, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Sad for all cricketing people around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's some big news coming out of the world of sport at the moment. So, yeah, so how's everybody's couple of weeks been since the last episode? Eva, how you been? I know you've been pretty busy.
Yeah, I've been in real life. Yeah, in real life, trying to keep up with work and a couple other things as well. A couple of shoots, first paid gig since COVID hit, which is great. Finally getting out there and getting back amongst people and events and all that sort of stuff. It's great. So yeah, looking forward to doing.
So, what sort of shooting is that? Is that with a gun or with a camera?
I shoot with cannons, mate.
JR, can I just say JR would love that reference? I'm just going to leave it there. Yeah, anyway.
It was a corporate event, photographing a corporate event, awards ceremony type thing. So I've done a lot of work from in the past. And I moved from Queensland. I was doing their work in Queensland, and when I moved to Melbourne, picked it up here as well. So, yeah.
Very nice.
How about you, Pete? How's your last couple of weeks, mate?
Last couple of weeks, they've been pretty good. I took a day off work last week to go down to... No, not last week, the week before, to go down to see Gunbuyer World, which is an amusement park in Victoria. And that was an absolute ripper day. I don't know if anyone else has been there, but it's like a wildlife slash amusement park with roller coasters and massive water slides about 40, 50 metres tall. Yeah, good fun.
Sounds a bit like Jamboree Recreation Park we got up here in New South Wales. Something that's got water slides and rides and stuff and animals. So probably something similar to that.
Yeah, probably similar to that, I'd say. I've never heard of that one yet. How about you, Alpha?
Yeah, I've been to Gunbuyer World a couple of times.
Yep.
But over the past couple of weeks, I've just been catching up with school, like outstanding schoolwork and stuff that needs to be completed.
Did you catch up with all your work?
Yeah, I got it all done.
Ah, good work.
I'm going to get stuck into some news, some OzZ news and some Fair Play news. We welcome in Jack Rabbit to the team leadership group. She has made some excellent contributions since joining OzZ, in specifically Team 3. Her support and her statistic analysis in regards to keeping track of what everybody's doing within the team has earned her a well-deserved promotion.
Can I just add to this? Everyone else uses the spreadsheet and she does a pen and paper.
Yeah, she does. She does a fantastic job. And I've got to say, her writing is super neat as well, isn't it, Pete?
Absolutely, especially for somewhere that doesn't speak English as a first language. It's neater than my writing.
What is this pen and paper you talk about?
Oh, you wouldn't know about it, mate.
It's a bit past your time there, buddy. Congratulations to JR. No, it's thoroughly deserved. She does a great job within the community and the server, and big shout out to her. So, excellent. OzNZ2 has recently been promoted to the CC division for the first time in the team's history. So, huge congratulations to all the guys in the team. Well earned. It's going to be a bit of a tough month ahead, but, you know, we'll try our best and we'll keep fighting and doing the best we can, I suppose. Well, we came up against French Power 2 in a very close match. We just lost 22-16 to 23-06. We were leading at some stage during the match. It was a bit of a tight affair with lots of lead changes. And congratulations to French Power 2 for getting the win against us. And that was a great match to be a part of. And a special shout out to a couple of the French Power 2 people in Zaz, I think that's how you pronounce it, Z-A-Z, and Nouch. And Nouch is a player that I got contact with as well. So a couple of good shout outs to those guys. If they are listening, hello from OzNZ. So Fair Play news, old news, but probably still worth a mention. I really didn't get around to this 2 weeks ago as it was quite fresh and it was, you know, everything was all happening at once, but there were some team resets recently with Legion GT and the New Order, and as well as Question Mark, formerly Not Reddit, was deleted. Apparently a lot of those players moved into their second team and I think they're back up in the CC division. Yeah, so that's what's happening there. It was certainly a busy night for Fingersoft, taking no prisoners and swinging the axe. Eva, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Eva and Alpha. Alpha, you're our stats guy, but I just want to get your thoughts on those resets. probably, well, I mean, we don't know too much about it, but that was a pretty big night, getting those, you know, waking up to those, all those resets.
Yeah, it's interesting. We don't know why, we don't know, you know, the details behind it and all, but, you know, the teams are quite strong. They'll be back in, you know, 2 months. Or, as you've said, you know, they've moved to alternate teams and, you know, they're back up and running within a month, you know. I don't think it's a loss because, you know, they're going backwards, but, you know, they're still back in CC a month later, so I don't see it as a big impost on the players, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Alpha, what are you got to say about those ones? That was a pretty big night, wasn't it, getting all those resets from Fingersoft coming out and swinging?
To be fair, though, I'm not particularly surprised because of the amount of times that those big teams get reset. Every month there seems to be one of the top teams just deleted, reset, players banned. Take your pick.
It's, yeah, I don't understand it at all. It's just maybe, you know, just a couple of one or two players just ruining it for everybody else, or there's, you know, Fingersoft have found further investigation. We don't know what's happening, but it's all, you know, we don't, nothing comes out. They don't really tell us, but yes, it's you're right. It seems to be happening, you know, pretty much all the time, doesn't it? With those big teams up top. Pete, do you want to go through some of the team events and some of the PE events that have been recently in the last couple of weeks?
Last week's public event was called Sailor Sky Rock, which was a moon stunts event. Some people hate them. They see it as competitive, but I'm actually pretty good at it because I've got patience, I suppose. So wow. I didn't mind doing that one.
So that's why you get 10K on the current, well, not the current team event because it's gone now, but the last team event with the Moonlander, you get 10K.
Yeah, that's the one. That one was called Two Passages was the practice track with the Moonlander. And even with my little baby alt, I'm getting 10K on it. It's all about the line you choose. Current one, which is craziness, absolute craziness, it's called Multi-Heart Madness. And it's a 2K time trial track event. And you pick up different tuning parts as you go. You can get up to 13. Yeah, similar to what we had at Christmas time, the brand new style of event. A lot of fun, but a bit hectic at times. Especially when you pick up that air control one.
It is a lot of fun, isn't it? But I think, I don't know. As soon as you get the air, I try and miss the air control on purpose because it really, especially when you've got the thrusters and you got other parts that are, you know, joining with it, it gets actually quite difficult to control the vehicle.
I don't mind every other part except for the air control and the thrusters because that makes me have to change the way I race because I usually hold the throttle down and then tap the brake to slow down. So if I try and do that, my thrusters will go off and I'll end up running out of fuel.
Yeah, true. Anyway, go on, mate. Sorry.
That was pretty much it for the public events. I don't think that would be in a team event coming up anytime soon, so there's no practice tracks for that. Team events. I've forgotten what the last one was called.
Beyond Infinity.
Yes, that's the one.
Team event called Beyond Infinity. That one was pretty good. I didn't mind it too bad. How about you, Alpha?
Disgusting.
Disgusting? Didn't like it.
If it involved stunt coins and wheelie, I'd rather quit the game.
Yeah. How about you, GTR?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. It was okay. I mean, the time trial for me was the most painful track of the set because I'm not a fan of the tractor. Yeah, I'm not a fan. That's probably my worst vehicle. I don't particularly like it too much, and I've always been terrible at it. So the time trial one, yeah, wasn't that great. Also, the hot rod for me going uphill was very inconsistent. Sometimes I would flip,
Early on, the hot rod was really tricky.
Oh, sometimes I would flip, and sometimes I would just nail a run, and it was challenging. It was definitely a challenging event.
Yeah, but since about the second or third day in, I switched from having magnet to winter tyres on the hot rod, and that seemed to be a lot better for me, a bit more grippy.
Yeah, right, and then you just have to slow down for the fuel, wouldn't you? and just
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, fair enough. No, look, I'm actually looking forward to the new team. I mean, the CC division, I don't think have played the new event just yet. I think they're going to start tonight. But that's going to be a very interesting event. I think there's some great vehicles. Well, some of my most favourite vehicles. Got the Super Jeep, got the Rally, the Rotator, Scooter, I think, is there as well.
Yeah.
That means Super Jeep. Super Jeep.
Super Diesel. So yeah, there's a couple of my favorites in there, so I'm actually looking forward to this event, so hopefully I score well.
I'm not looking forward to it. I reckon it looks terrible.
Yeah, are you talking in specifically in regards to the tracks or?
Yeah, just the tracks. The vehicles look all right, but the tracks, I'm not looking forward to that. I've never been a fan of the Target one.
Yeah, the Target one's going to be interesting. It's got a good start, but I'm thinking everybody's going to be using the Rotator for the Fun Park stage. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, the Fun Park stage. I actually like the Super Diesel on that because I get about 14 seconds on that. If done right and if done perfectly, so I'll probably use Super Diesel for that track. So
yeah, I'll be using the Super Diesel for that one as well.
The Target one is kind of hit and miss.
Ah, see what you did there. Yeah. That track is called Liability Free Fun.
That's the one. Yeah, so Super Diesel for me for that one. I think for to start off with anyway.
Yeah, just to get a decent score.
Yeah, exactly. All right, anything else to add to those ones, Pete?
No, I can't think of anything else I want to add to that because I haven't tried the new one yet, so I can't tell you anything about it.
Sorry to put you on the spot, but do we know of the next PE event, what that's going to be, or we don't know yet, eh?
Just give me a second.
I haven't seen it, so we'll get back to that later. All right, no worries, mate. We'll move on.
Found it. And you are going to hate it.
Oh, fantastic. Lay it on us.
Long kick.
Oh, the soccer ball is back. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, I don't mind it. I really don't mind it because it's actually you use the rally thrusters and that, and you flip over, and it just flies if you do it right.
Yep.
That's cool. I don't mind that. It's actually quite fun. If you do it right,
be fun, and it can be frustrating.
Yes, but if it's the one I'm thinking of, where it's the longest kick, then yeah, that'll be fun.
That is the one.
Yeah, not the one where you need to push the ball into the soccer goal.
I prefer that one.
Yeah, I like the longest kick. The longest kick's cool.
From memory, the longest kick there is a goal at about 1500 meters.
Oh, is there really? I can't remember that. But I just remember flipping the rally car over and landing on the bonnet and the soccer balls flying through the air.
I'm doing like a pinch motion.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Pinching it with the back of the vehicle against
the floor. Yes, exactly. That's right. Yeah. No, I use jump shocks with the thrusters and I can't remember what other part. Maybe the air control or something like that, but yeah,
air control.
Yeah. Cool. No worries. We're looking forward to that one. All right. Alfie, do you have anything to add to some stats segment or anything to mention what's happening in the last couple of weeks in regards to the game?
Yes, I do actually. There's been a couple of interesting developments in the adventure scene again. With Linus had taken over the number one adventure player rank for about a day.
Who's in the lead at the moment? Because it's a battle between Linus and Zorro, isn't it?
At the moment, Zorro's retaken the lead. But Linus did have the lead at one point.
What is their Canyoneer ranking?
So, at the moment, Linus has 3,612,000. And Zorro has 3,634,000.
Oh, so he's got a fair lead now.
Yes.
Good on him.
they just keep getting better and better, don't they, in regards to like just fighting it out. So who will be the best?
What's maximum stars, Alpha?
Don't know. I could calculate it.
You could work it out, and it'll take a bit.
I don't know what the max stars for those are.
Actually, we'll save that for the next episode. Give us a bit of time to add it all up. All right, no problem. Yeah. All right. We'll probably put that to our listeners. Listeners, if you know the answer to that question, what's the maximum stars, shoot a comment in the on the YouTube link and or in server. Let us know. Eva, mate, lucky last. What do you got for us for this week?
I was going to talk about, I'm going to say it properly, Automatch. So that's trying to be the fifth element from the fifth element. But really badly, because all of my accents sound terrible. So yeah, I was going to talk a bit about auto-matching and what it's done to scoring a little bit. I mean, this is my perception, so I'm probably going to get flamed for this. But like at the end of the day, I've just seen, you know, there's been, you know, reports of teams that are up in the top, you know, 20 or top 30 that should never be there, and they're talking about that. And I just figured that I'd talk a bit about the numbers behind that and probably why they're up there. So the matching was supposed to match teams against each other, and if the matching was being done properly, then we would have, you know, after the first couple of rounds, we would probably have 10 or 12 matches that are going to be pretty even. So across say 15 matches for the month, you'd have 10 matches that were pretty even. So say we have 5,000 points per match available to both teams. And I know it's a little bit less than that, but I'm just using 5,000 as a round number to make it easier for the maths. So if we have an even match and both teams are very even, you know, you'll get roughly 2,500 points each team. So 10 matches, 2,500 points, you've now got 25,000 points towards your monthly target, right? Now, as the bigger matches, the strong versus weak matches are getting less and less because we're being matched with teams that are more like our ability, what's happening is those 4,500 to 500 matches are no longer happening as often across 15 matches. So, you know, when that was happening, you'd get a team after 10 rounds that would have had maybe 5,000 points, you know, a weakish team being matched by the top 10 one after the other, would have 5,000 points, and the top 10 teams would have 45,000 points. Again, this is round numbers. I'm just trying to make it easier to do the maths. So what we're seeing is the difference between the absolute number one team in CC and the top 20 is actually a whole lot closer because of this auto matching. And I think that's good for the game. Well, that's my opinion. I think it's good for the game. And it's great for players on the teams that are having a good match as opposed to a match where you're being annihilated. And in speaking of that, we're currently matched with Discord. G'day to Moxie, who said hello to me and said good luck. We're going to need it. There is a score up there which is 40k. I'm gobsmacked. That's freakishly amazing.
Dazeel, however you say it.
Congratulations, mate. 40,000 points on this event is pretty cool. And, you know, he's only just in front of PR Linus, which is, he's only done 39,533.
Which is an achievement in itself, being ahead of Linus.
You know, and then, you know, only RS Knight at 39,500 and 21. So, like, the top four is over 39,500. That's pretty impressive, and it's great to play these guys because it gives us an opportunity to see their lines and watch their play and how and what and everything else. But you know, to have five of those or 10 of those matches in a season would kind of make you want to put the game away, you know what I mean? So I like the auto matching. I reckon it's awesome. The other thing that's I've got to comment about is we now have four tickets at the start of a new match, which is awesome. You know, but I must say there is one downside to auto matching, and it was touched on last episode, and I was going to reiterate it because I think it's very important. Time of day, you know, time of day around the world changes for the auto matching because, you know, it's the same time across the world. And there are certain countries that, you know, fall out of favour because of the time the auto matching happens. So, you know, that can be a bit of a downer to some people. They're missing four tickets because the counter doesn't start until you jump in the first time.
I've actually got a little solution for that. If that's the case, which it is the case, those particular players in the division who are from that country should be allocated another, like, extra two tickets maybe. Yeah, because if... But then again, someone could easily just change their flag, can't they, and get extra tickets.
So yeah, that look, work. I mean...
We might have to work on, like, a suggestion for that, I reckon.
Yeah, but it is something that needs to be discussed. But, look, at the end of the day, I think the auto-matching has more positives than negatives across the game. Yeah, there are some teams that are going to say, oh, that's a bit unfair, or... it's too fair or all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, you want teams to enjoy playing a team event and to have close matches, because close matches are the ones you talk about. They're the ones you remember. You know, when you 4K someone, oh yeah, who was that? Who cares? But, you know, the match that you have and, you know, you're constantly changing who's winning and losing by, you know, some guy going up the leaderboard by two spots, and it changes 17 times over the last hour. That's the sort of match you remember forever, you know. So yeah. Anyway, that's my two cents. And again, it's my opinion. I mean, you know, we're all entitled to our opinion, but I'd love to hear your opinion if you agree, disagree, whatever. So leave some comments. Great.
Yeah, no, auto-matching, it's definitely shaken up the CC division, hasn't it? It's really, like, brought a new... it's definitely, like, you know, players... It's taken away some things which are great, like, in regards to top teams sniping lower teams and so forth. It's really taken that strategy, I suppose you could call it, away from the game. So, I mean, now... I don't know how exactly it works. I mean, we'll have to probably ask, you know, Reese one day how the auto matching system works exactly. But I think it's doing its job at the moment. It's really working well, you know, because the other lower half in the CC division, you know, to be honest, have no chance against the top teams. And when they're matching teams of their similar quality, they're placing higher at the end of the month, aren't they? Like, they're getting the points that's needed, and
yep. Well, let's face it. You know, like, I used to do CrossFit, and I want to get back to it, but people used to say, oh, you know, the guy came 40th at the CrossFit game. You know, oh my God, he's terrible. Well, no, he's the 40th best in the world according to CrossFit. So, you know, a top 100 team, which is in CC, doesn't have shit players on it. You know, for them to get to CC, they'd have to have done reasonably well across Division 2 and 1 to get promoted to CC. So, you know, they'd have more than 15 really good players on the team, you know. So, you know, to say, oh, they're the bottom 100 or whatever, is no mean feat. It's great, a great accomplishment to get there.
Yeah, even the last in CC is still the top 100 of the world.
Yeah, the top line out of the world. Cool. So, you know, if they get there and they get demolished, you know, it's demoralising, and they go, well, we're just going to stay in Division 1 and smash them in Division 1, stay under the top 100 or top 200 and, you know, just keep earning points and getting good chess. Why go to CC and get nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the auto matching has fixed that to some degree.
It has. I just think the next update that comes out, they really need to probably adjust the promotion demotion system just a little bit better. I reckon having 50 teams getting demoted, promoted, it's probably just a little too much. I think it should be reduced to, say, the bottom 25 and the top 25, or even top 15, bottom 15. 50 is probably a bit too much.
No, fair enough.
I suppose we could speak to our guest Cthulhu a bit more about this. He might have some comments to probably say about auto matching and things like that. What do you reckon? Should we bring him in?
Let's bring him in.
Bring him in. Okay, so, all right. Well, I'll get him off mute and get to him. All right, so, Cthulhu. So, all right, we have a lot of questions to probably get through. And once again, I thank our listeners, for contributing to the show with presenting us with your questions for our guests. So, guys, thanks very much for writing it in each fortnight, and we really appreciate it. Which this week is none other than fictional cosmic entity. He's a god, of course. He's also a god in the HCR2 world. Let's not forget about that. But he's a god overall. And basically, he's a god with that awful vehicle called the tractor as well. I don't know how he does it. I'll have to get some tips off him because I'm terrible at it. All the way from the USA, welcome Fingersoft Pit Crew member Cthulhu to the Oz NZ Community Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for having me on the show. I am doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you on.
Beautiful. Now, it is. And I just wanted to say thanks for coming on first and foremost. You're pretty well known throughout the community, and we've been looking forward to talking to you for a while now, and it's great to have you on the show, mate. So thank you again for coming on.
Absolutely. I was honored to come on, and I love that this is kind of a weird kind of time travel experiment, because like it's 7 p.m. for me and it's 2 p.m. for you in a different day.
It's actually very true. There's a lot of guys out there in the community have asked you some questions and stuff. We'll get to the questions a little later on, but just to start off with, you want to tell us a bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do outside of the game, anything like that, and tell listeners just a bit about yourself.
Cool. I'll try to keep it family friendly. I'm from Portland. I was born here in Portland, Oregon, USA, on the West Coast. I am physically disabled, so I don't work traditionally. But as a side gig, I do public speaking. I'm a psychedelic educator with a heavy focus on microdosing and incorporating microdosing into everyday life. And other things I like to do, I'm an artist. I have some physical media that I like to work with. Sculpting is part of that. And I'm a very avid toy collector from toys from my childhood.
Very nice.
That's fascinating. So, you do a bit of artwork. What type of toy collecting did you say?
Toys from my childhood. In particular, I like toys. Toy line from 1985 called Muscle Man. And they were originally a Japanese toy called Kinkeshi from a toy line called Kinikuman, which is basically Muscle Man in Japanese. They're little rubber eraser toy figures, intergalactic wrestlers. They're awesome. And then I have one of the world's largest collections of toy Cthulhus. I have little tiny Cthulhus all the way up to a 22-inch tall Cthulhu toy, little figures.
And all right, so speaking of Cthulhu, which is your name, of course, your in-game name, you want to probably tell us listeners what Cthulhu is? I mean, that's probably a couple of questions that everyone asks, but I'll get it out of the way now everybody goes. But what's Cthulhu?
The mythos is it's from an H.P. Lovecraft horror novel, and Cthulhu is a elder god who sleeps beneath the Pacific Ocean, imprisoned until the stars align, and which, when the stars align, he will be released to destroy and devour humanity. And Cthulhu is 100-foot tall, roughly, cephalopod creature with wings and tentacles, and finds humans crunchy and delicious.
Kind of like a giant octopus type figure.
With wings.
Yes.
With
Imagine
wings.
Imagine a walking octopus with wings and you've got it.
That sounds horrifying.
I find it delightfully misanthropic and nihilistic to think of delightfully volunteering myself up to be eaten by Cthulhu. I think it's funny.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a pretty unique name. You know, there's not many Cthulhus going around in the world, that's for sure. So,
definitely unique. Not many people can pronounce it either.
Well, that's the thing, you know. Like when I first started talking to you, and it was a while ago, and I thought to myself, "Oh, how do you pronounce this name? It's going to be a bit of a challenge." But then I listened to the Fair Play podcast, and I was like, "Ah, right, that makes sense." Yeah, and then it all came together.
Yes, for your listeners at home, it's Cthulhu. Cthulhu. Yes.
And it's not Cthulhu.
No,
that's right. Hey, Eva, you want to say g'day to our guest mate?
I've probably done I don't know how many of your tractor war stuff over the years, and just watched in awe as you've pulled away from me for days on end. In terms of just time trial stuff, is just amazing. So it's always been good to follow someone's lines, and it's good to have someone of your caliber on the show, to be honest. Thanks for all the tips.
Thanks for playing the challenges.
You would have seen it on records,
I've seen records. I actually go through records and find people who've done good times, and then watch their videos or watch their replays. And I've followed a couple of yours.
Fantastic. Check out my world record on Rough Road.
Trust me, I have.
Oh, excellent.
We have a daily competition, Cthulhu, that's run by the OzNZ guys. And whenever a tractor event, because we go through majority of the vehicles, and when the tractor one comes up, I think you are our go-to man, whichever map it is. We just try and find a record from you, and we go, yes, that's the line, that's the parts.
Yep.
Oh, wow. I'm really honored, because in Tractor Wars, I feel like I'm definitely second string. There's some amazing tractor drivers in Tractor Wars, so I find that very flattering. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, look, like everything, the one thing I love about time trials is there's always another way, and you can always learn from someone else's line. You know, where to bounce, where not to bounce, where to land, where not to land, where to time the next, overcharge turbo, and releasing the throttle to be able to get that overcharge turbo timing just right. That's
very different.
It's got a very powerful overcharge turbo.
It has. It goes massive, massive.
Yeah.
So it's one
of those powerful. It's the most powerful turbo in the game, but the timing is much different. It's longer to charge.
Yeah, it's longer, hitting. Much longer. But when it does go, it goes.
The timing, I always struggle to get the timing of the turbo, and not just that, also the actual vehicle itself. I just find it very hard to handle the actual tractor. Like, sometimes on the jumps, it dips down, it'll lock up. And I'm like, it's getting good speed, and now I've just come to a complete stop. It's like,
and then you try and land, and the bucket hits the ground, and you flip over.
Yeah, exactly. Just those little things about the vehicle I despise. I really don't like it too much. So, yeah,
it's a very finicky vehicle, and it's got kind of a learning curve because it's very finicky. But the coin boost, the wheelie boost, the OT are so powerful on the tractor.
Yep.
If you can learn how to wheelie land with speed, it's just zooming fast.
Agreed. Yeah,
very, very good. Yeah, like I was saying about our daily comp, I'll send you an invite, mate. You got to come have a race with us one day. But, it's always good to, get different perspectives on vehicle line and things like that. So, I don't know if you were hearing us before, Cthulhu, about the matchmaking. You got any comments in regards to the new matchmaking system and that's going on in CC Division?
I think it's a great work in progress. I think it needs some further tweaking, but it's going a long way to balance things out and shake things out a little bit. I'm curiously optimistic, but I think it needs some more tuning.
All right, so yeah, in regards to like tuning, so you're saying it just needs some upgrading in regards to what specifically, but maybe like the demotion promotion system, or in regards to just matching in general.
Well, I'm hearing some things already about how the system can be played a little bit, and I am sitting comfortable in a Div 1 team. Just full disclosure, so. My CNC experience is secondhand, but what I'm hearing are like ways to play the system to stay in CC and not get demoted, and even with the auto matching. So I'm just hearing enough talk on the different servers to me tells me that there needs to be a little bit more tweaking to the auto matching, and they're getting real close.
Yep. I believe Figuresoft would be working on an update pretty soon, I would have to say. The matchmaking's been out for a while now, so I'd say they would be up and working on an update, and hope to get that soon, I guess. I don't know when, but would love to know when. But sorry to put you on the spot. Yeah, because tell us a bit more about... But we're in Portland, mate, so what's there to do around there? I don't think our list today. Majority of our listeners are from Australia and New Zealand, so we wouldn't know too much about where you're from.
Where I'm at, I'm nestled. I'm about an hour from the coast, nestled between a small mountain range and a larger mountain range, the Cascade Range and the Coastal Range. And I am a forest elf. I admit it, I go camping several times a summer. I love being in the mountains and in the forest. We have a nice 11,000 foot tall mountain right next to us, Mount Hood. I like to go camping a lot. There are a lot of fun things to do in Portland. I like to go to dance events. Electronic music is kind of my jam. But it's like a lot of camping and a lot of outdoor. We have a lot of waterfalls within an hour, 2 hour drive that are amazing to look at.
See, that's fascinating, mate.
I do love a good waterfall.
I love waterfalls. They're the most amazing thing to photograph because they're so majestic.
Yep. They are amazing, and there's so much power and energy. And then if I get bored, I can drive an hour west and just have the majesty of the Pacific Ocean, which is just its own amazing power source.
Well, we can look at the same ocean at the same time.
Isn't that cool?
Absolutely, it's a big ocean, that's for sure. But before we do that, Cthulhu, you want to just give us a quick history lesson on your HCR2 experience? So, did you start off by playing HCR1, and just give us a rough team's history as well?
Sure, I did start with HCR1 in about 2013, and on one of my first Android phones, and it was not too long after I'd been playing for a while, and it was not long after HCR2 was released that I saw an ad for it in HCR1. And so I started playing in March of 2017 and have been playing pretty steadily with some lulls, of course, over the years and missing some events. Like I missed several events by going to Burning Man 1 year in 2018. That was a lot of fun.
That would have been worth it, though.
Totally worth it! But I've been playing pretty steadily ever since I installed the game. It's like the one game that has remained on my phone since I installed it consistently. It holds my attention. It's fun. I'm an old car guy from my misspent youth around cars and rebuilding cars, so I get kind of appealed on me that way. I like going fast.
What sort of cars did you rebuild? I'm curious now.
I helped restore some vintage automobiles, a Diamond T pickup truck from Anglia, 31 Ford High Boy, 29 Ford Dodge Brothers Coupe, an actual Woody panel surf wagon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, helped work on a early AC Cobra that needed some fender work.
Sounds like, what's that TV show with Foose, the designer, who go around picking up old cars and rebuilding them to their beautiful state. What's that show called again? I can't remember off the top of my head.
I don't watch that one, but there are several out there. This was in high school, after high school, and I hung out with a friend whose dad was an auto restorer, so I got to do some really stupid things in cars. I got to drive a 73 De Tomaso Pantera, and I drove it in excess of 200 miles an hour, which is about, what, 330 kmh?
Yep. Yeah,
it's fast enough.
It's fast enough. It's go fast enough. So, like, I've been around cars, so HCR2 really appealed, and, like, it just pushed all the buttons.
The funny thing about that De Tomaso Pantera is the engines were built in Australia.
They were. The 351 Cleveland.
Yep, they were 351 Clevelands. They were built in Australia, and they were shipped to Italy to be fitted to the cars.
And this one was supercharged, and oh, you guys did a great job on that engine because it went fast, really fast.
I have a mate who's a collector, and he had one, and there was about 10 of us at a barbecue, and we're all standing around it, watching him, and the look on everybody's face was, can you start it up so we can hear it? Can you start it up so we can hear it? And finally, he got the gist of what was going on, and he started it up, gave it a couple of revs, and I think everybody in the room just went, oh yeah, that'll do.
Nourishment, auditory nourishment.
You know, the short exhaust, you know, because we've heard 351 Clevelands in our homegrown Falcons for years, but they've got a long exhaust. You know, you put something with, you know, you put that engine in the back of a car and you put a short exhaust on it, and all of a sudden, it is amazing.
All I can say is imagine that motor at 200 miles an hour right behind your head. It's really loud.
Yep. That sounds like fun.
So you, so you started off with HCR1 and then went to 2, and so you obviously started playing before teams came in and before all the updates and everything. So you, where'd you start off with, mate? Give us a couple of rough team history.
Oh boy, I was on the very first team, DC.
Okay, so and DC as in Discord?
Discord, Team Discord. I was on the first match versus Fingersoft. I was on the podium. It was awesome. So that was the very first team I was on.
That's pretty awesome. You won the podium on the very first match ever.
I kept a screenshot, and like 42 points has sent me a screenshot too. I love that dude. So I was on Team Discord until the skill level exceeded mine, and I sort of went to a secondary team. And then I went to Team Cats for a while, and I bounced a few. Bob Island, which was a Discord affiliate team for a while. And currently I'm settled in on a Div 1 team with Tessa Cat and Raven, TNT.
TNT. So when were you with Team Cats?
Oof, early. It was after I left Team Discord. I was with a Dutch team that I cannot remember name offhand. And I needed a much more chill team. And I knew Tessa very, very peripherally. And I was on Team Cats for a couple months as sort of a chill out from the pressures of team matches.
Was that when they were still building up GP, not building up GP, building up cup points?
I don't. Yeah, it was, remember the old trophy system where they were just adding, it was just adding up and adding up.
Yeah, adding trophies. Yeah. So were you there when they did the 34 wins in a row?
I don't think I was.
Okay, because I was on Team, I would have been on Team Cats just before you were then.
Okay.
I joined when they were at 17 wins in a row, and we kept winning, like we were in, we were building cut points, and as soon as we got onto the, you know, over 4,000, we started to play teams that actually could play. But we were 3K teams for, I think it was 53 matches in a row, we 3K teams. And our 54th match was this Brazilian team, and it was down to the wire.
I want to say I was in on the early 3K streak.
Okay.
The winning streak, but not the later streak. I left before it was over, I think.
Well, I must have joined then just after you left.
Must have been. Weird. Small world.
Very small world. Very small world. Me and Tessa get on really well. I still chat to her every now and then.
Tessa's an amazing team leader, so I'll just throw that out
there. She is. She actually thought I was a female when I joined. And she private messaged me.
as does the rest of the HCRT community.
And she said, oh, thankfully there's another female on the team. And then I said, I'm sorry, I'm not a female. Like, straight up, I'm not a female. It's short for every vehicle available. And she pissed us off laughing. Obviously, I didn't hear it. But she told me she pissed us off laughing. And she just said, oh, welcome to the team. Do you want me to announce it or not? And I said, you do what you like.
She's a great team leader. She's made the team really fun.
Yeah,
that's we'd hope to talk to her one day if Eva can set that
I'm
up.
I'm trying.
Yeah, there's a few people that are on our list, but yeah, she's definitely one of our ones that we'd love to talk to one day.
I said to her that I'd learn some Spanish.
Yeah, before we get on to questions, Alfie, is there anything you want to say to our guest today, Cthulhu?
Just sort of with the tractor. Like, when the second Gloomvale Cup came out, the Mystical Cup one, I did have a tractor world record for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got broken.
Yeah, that's how I usually got a lot of my world records, is the first couple of days of release, and then they get broken.
We got a few questions to get through. I guess we better get stuck in them. So thanks again for everybody to asking the questions. Before we get on to that, is there anything we want to say to Cthulhu? Do you want to say anything to the listeners before we get on to some questions, mate? Well, at the end, we're going to go through. You can do some shout-outs later at the end. But, yeah, is there anything you want to...
I want to say, like, I'm really thrilled to kind of be affiliated with this community, because I started hearing about the AusNZ community through the different servers for being a straight up no cheating team, and they're all about community, and it was like it pushed all the buttons I like about the HCR2 community. So like it was kind of. It's cool to see it grow. I love this. I've been a big supporter of the podcast since I listened to it. So, like, it's cool to see it grow. You guys are really nailing it.
Thanks so much, mate. It really means a lot. Yeah, no, you're definitely, like, a part of AusNZ. And, you know, one day you can come have a couple of runs with us, mate, and in the top team and just come have a bit of a cameo if you want.
Sounds great.
Sorry to steal you away from Tessa Cat for a while. I'm sure she wouldn't mind if we borrowed you, though.
Is this a recruitment podcast?
I was thinking the same thing, mate, bro.
Only for Cthulhu, because he's one of us, so nobody else, just him. So, yeah, because he's an adopted AusNZ community member for sure.
But if anyone's listening and wants to join, hit us up.
Jeez. All right, let's get stuck into the questions. I'll go first and see what we can find, and then we'll go from there. So right, let's have a look. I might ask my question first. That's probably a good way to start. Cthulhu, when did you start making YouTube videos, and is HCR2 the first game that you ever made videos for?
I absolutely started making YouTube videos specifically for HCR2. I saw everybody else doing it, and I don't want to say I was doing it to make Pit Crew, but I was kind of hoping that I would make Pit Crew. You know what I mean? So I started a YouTube channel, and I did solely like HCR 1 and 2 videos. And mostly because I thought it would be cool to get known as an HCR 2 player, because I like to tell people it's my favorite game that I suck at. But there are certain aspects of the game where I'm kind of good at it. I made videos specifically for HCR 1 and 2. just to sort of build a persona around HCR2?
It's doing the YouTube videos and things like that, so it can get sometimes it gets too much time and everything like that. But you do get recognized, especially these days. It's very hard to get recognized because everybody's doing it. But back then, when there was very few that were making videos, it was you kind of put yourself out there, didn't you?
What I found more satisfying than doing YouTube videos, which were all right, I was like the first live streamer of HCR2 on Twitch that I know of. I started live streaming speed runs of the public events when they would launch, as soon as they would launch, so I would try to speed run through a pit through the entire public event, spending gems and like do it in an hour. It was a lot of fun, and I would live stream it. So that was a lot of fun for me. So I found a lot more joy in doing live streaming or YouTube videos.
Doing it in an hour, that's super fast. Did you have VIP when you do that?
This was pre-VIP. So, yeah, it was kind of nutty.
Yeah, so fast.
I want to say VIP was initiated for my fastest time, which was a Halloween event in which Reese joined the stream and was doing giveaways and stuff. And I did it, the Halloween event, in 45 minutes. So it had to have been after the IP was issued.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow. Cool, mate. Who's up? Go for it, Eva.
All right. This is from Halal Snack Pack. Shout out to you, mate. Going on what we talked about already, he's asked your dream vehicle in real life.
My dream vehicle in real life. Okay. Realistic or unrealistic?
Money no object, mate.
Money no object. I would love to have that 73 Datsun Muscle Pantera resto-modded to an all-electric. I think that would be insanity on wheels.
Are you sure you don't want a GTR to go with that?
But electric would remove that amazing sound.
I would have somebody program that in specifically so I could have that. Money no object, right?
Money no object, yep.
I actually drove an electric car last weekend and it was the weirdest experience ever. Like I started the car and then I turned it back off again because I thought it didn't start. There was no noise.
Yeah, if you haven't had experience with those electric cars, first time you turn it on, you're thinking, is it on? Wait, I've got to check the controls here.
It was so bizarre. I've got a question, if you're finished answering the question.
Yeah, I think so.
Question from DeBell. What is it like being the small minority of players that have pit crew?
Oof, it is incredibly cool and humbling, but awesome. It's hard to explain. Like, it's weird having fans. That's weird. Just going to put that out there. I don't have many, not like some of the other more famous pit crew members like Parashock and Illinois. But like, it's weird having fans, but it's very cool to be pit crew. I love the benefits that I get, but I also love the game enough that I'm willing to help put up Instagram posts and do Twitch live streams and do all the things. And like, you know, it's kind of like influencer status. I just try to remain humble to the fact that like I started out as just a regular player and like try to keep that player mentality and not get carried away with all the free stuff.
Yeah. Good answer.
So I think it's really kind of a humbling, kind of awesome, but kind of weird all at the same time.
Awesome. All right, Alpha, you're up.
Murray's still surprised by all the free stuff.
Only because of you, mate, bro. Because that's your doing.
He won't give me anything.
You've got no thumbs.
I'm with him on that one. I would not share it either.
You don't have a head for a hat.
Exactly. No, you can't wear that.
You can't even wear a scarf.
There's nothing that'll fit you anymore.
Mate, bro.
How about we put one of the pop sockets on his case?
Yeah, well, that could probably work, I'd say. All right, Alfie, when you're ready, boss, go for it.
So, I've got a question from Goose. Some people use thumbs, others use four fingers. What do you use for the brake and accelerator pedals?
I am definitely a two-thumber. Gotta go with the thumbs.
Yep, same.
Majority, I would have to say, would use the thumbs. I don't know who would use it. I think Camo uses it. He was saying last week we use a few. Was it Camo?
Creepers, the guy that uses his fingers.
No, Creepers uses the fingers. Yeah.
And I've seen a video of it. It is scary.
No, someone else uses their fingers. It's not just Creepers.
Oh, okay.
Can't remember who, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter. Someone else does.
I happen to know that there's a disabled gamer from Brazil. GG Gamer, I think, is his handle, and he plays with his foot.
Wow.
He's really good. He's really good, too. So, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's fascinating. How do you play with your feet? You have to have really separated toes, wouldn't you, to be able to control it? I don't know how you do that. Anyway, moving on from the feet. Here's a question from Dada, one of my friends from the Fair Play Mods team. And he is also he's the founder of the Maps, that new server, the Map Crew, which you're involved with, Eva, as well.
I haven't done anything in 2 weeks, but I'm trying to be involved.
So a question from Dada, a big shout out to him. How do you manage to play HCR2, be a Fingersoft mod, be a pit crew, work and have a social life all in the one life? How do you manage it all?
Wow. Well, good question. Shout out to Dada. I love his stats. Man, they're awesome. And I poured them onto my server to do this bad chat. Great question. I balance quite a bit, and I recently have reached max GP, so the grinding is really the intensity of the grinding has really gone down. I don't have a traditional job, as I mentioned before, so I don't have 8 hours of my day just taken away by working for somebody else. I try to balance everything I do with a little bit of conscious thought into, like, how many hours am I actually putting in today? You know, there's also those moments where I laugh at myself where I did the most KMs for our team solely doing rough road runs, 200 meters at a time. So it's just a balancing act, trying to follow my urges. Like, if I'm feeling creative, I know I can't play HCR. I need to put that energy elsewhere. If I need to work on a speech, then I need to put that energy elsewhere. If I'm agitated, I need something to occupy my mind for a while. HCR2 is my go-to. It's awesome. So it's just a big juggling act.
My go-to game as well. And like you said before, that you've never deleted it or anything from your phone. I've never deleted it either since downloading it from when I started playing. So I think a lot of people would be in that same boat. So
this is from Boulder. Great guy. He was on the podcast a couple of episodes ago. Love his commitment to the game and to the people around him. Why did you choose the name... Sorry, I just had a mental blank. Why did you choose the name Cthulhu?
Cthulhu? That one?
Yes, that one.
shout out to Baldur. I loved his podcast episode. Thought it was cool. Why did I choose Cthulhu? Well, I originally joined Discord because, again, an ad in Hill Climb Racing. And recently I just put my online alias that I had been literally since the 90s, Stonyface. I did leave my Discord handle for a while, Stonyface, and was only Cthulhu in the Fingersoft server. When I joined the Fingersoft server, there was like literally like 500-600 people, so very early. It was like it was kind of quiet, but they were very much like, this is 13 plus, and like, I'm all like wanting to talk about what I do as a quote-unquote living and psychedelic educator and cannabis legalization and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I better self-edit a little bit. And everybody always assumes the nickname Stonyface is cannabis-related, and it's really not. So I kind of went, you know, what kind of name suits me in a community where I can really name myself whatever? And, like, I was really on... I've been a huge Cthulhu toy collector for years. And I went, oh, Cthulhu. It's great. It's unique. Nobody's going to be named Cthulhu. It'll be awesome. And so I did that, changed my name in-game, and then changed my name in Discord on the FS server. Just started doing that entirely on my Discord handle. And there's only a few people out there in the world who recognize the old Stonyface nickname anyway. So it wasn't too big a deal. But... it was kind of the most cool character I could think of to fit into the kind of weird HCR world that I found on Discord.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome. Now, I did actually mispronounce it on purpose just to have some fun.
Of course you did.
How do you pronounce it then, Eva?
Cthulhu.
Ah, well done.
Excellent.
All right, I've got a question from Creepers. If you had a fight with the Kraken, who would win and why?
Kraken in the mythology are my babies, so I would Cthulhu them because they're cephalopods, so I could control them. But in the HCR world, there's been a couple of Cthulhu versus Kraken matches. I have a screenshot where I met Kraken in a public event, and they beat me. They got first place on the podium. I got second.
Oh.
And then on TNT, we have a member named Kraken who the last couple of events has been scoring higher than me. So, like, so far, it's been the mythos is not playing out as far as HCR 2. The Kraken is winning.
Yep. Very good.
Alfie, go for it, mate.
So, I have a question from Mad Max. What's your opinion on the best all-round player in the game?
Oof. I guess right now it's all Linus versus Zoro, isn't it? And I think it's hard to say. It's back and forth. It's really competitive. It's really kind of inspiring to see these two people. But, like, I'm in the boat where, like, hey, these two are really awesome, but there's, like, 50 people that I can think of that are, like, just top-notch players that are not Linus and Zoro. So, like, they're the easy go-to answer, but, like, there's so many good players, and they're almost all on CC teams. You know what I mean? Top 50 CC teams. You get to that level, and it's a shark tank of just, you know, high level 38, 39K is not that uncommon a team of that score. So, that caliber of player I have a lot of respect for. So, the easy answer is, like, Linus Zoro, but, like, so many names to fill in from there on.
Great players everywhere. Yeah, but they're probably the most consistent and most all-round player in the game, I'd say, in every mode of the game.
I would say if Protect did adventure more, he'd probably be up there too, because he has much lower GP than Linus and Zoro.
He's really skilled. He's a really, really skilled player.
Yeah, also Knight GP from Discord as well. Great team event player. Great venture player as well. And an amazing time trialist. He won numerous dailies in our daily competition as well.
Battling him in the dailies was just amazing. Like, watching him, the lines he would take, the parts he would use, just amazing.
Okay, I have a question from Just Chill, who's an Eden server, and also Oz Pato asked, oh no, wait, he did the same question as well. But he says, what do you love about being pit crew?
What I love about being pit crew, it's fun to be able to do videos about, like, the unboxing and show people a little bit of what that's like. But I like being able to do giveaways and stuff. Like, I got a bunch of stickers that I like to do giveaways. I was able to do in my live stream for a while, do giveaways, giveaway skins and paints and stuff. And I think I really like most is leveraging the pit crew position into a community building role across various servers, because the giant diaspora of players across all of the many Discord servers now, it's just amazing. So, like, it's fun to build community and see communities evolve and build, and I like to encourage that. So I think that's kind of one of the most fun roles for me, is to be able to kind of see these circles combined and build.
Yep, great answer, mate. It's special being part of that small crew as well. The second question from Jill was
fun fact, the newest pit crew members have both been created by bots.
We were just coming to that, and that was the second question from Jill, was what is Mori like as the newest pit crew member? Give us the down low on here, mate.
You know, now that you think of it, I kind of secretly think he's Bender from Futurama.
That is a fantastic answer. I love Bender. He's one of my favorite characters.
It's cool. It's cool to have Morius pit crew. It's cool to have Australia, New Zealand represented in such a way. I haven't gotten to know Mori on a personal level too well yet, but it's been very cool, and very cool to see a new pit crew member made. It's always exciting. There's so few of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could probably get to talk to mate Bropper after the podcast, mate, and see what he's like. You can pass it back on to him as well. Pete, You got another question, mate?
Yeah, I've got one from one of our community members, Gutter Butter. How do you...
Gutter Butter.
Yeah. How do you feel about a rotator nose wheelie moon event or formula nose wheelies? Would this be a good way to alleviate boredom within the game?
In a purely sadistic way, yes. That would be torturous, but it would be different.
It would be very different.
Great shout out there to Gutter Butter, who is weird in ways that are compatible with my weird. So I love his live stream. But a rotator nose wheelie, I think, might be a little easier than the formula nose wheelie. I have seen the video of the formula nose wheelie.
Wow. The rotator is so hard to control on the nose. I'll find the formula a lot easier.
I will take your word for it. I have tried the nose wheel and the formula once or twice and went, nope, I can't do this.
There was one video, I can't remember who posted it to YouTube, but after I watched that one, I gave it a go myself. And it is a lot of fun, but it's a big challenge.
I think it was Vare. Wasn't it VareShock did it?
Oh, it might have been.
Yeah, I don't...
I thought it was Can Into Space did it as well. I think it possibly could have been you.
Can Into Space. That sounds... That's a player of a skill level that can pull that off. Let's just put it that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Freak of a player. So I don't think he listens to the podcast, but you know he's a great player. Ava, mate, another one. You've got one yourself, I think. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I had two questions, but I'm only going to ask one. When parts were added to the game and, they come out with this thing called Jump Shocks, did you think that Jump Shocks would change the game in the way it has?
No. I have opinions about the Jump Shock. No. And I love that Jump Shock started as a joke until some genius realized that Jump Shocks and Landing Goose and Wings go together like peanut butter and jelly. I think it's funny it's known as kangaroo. That's all on y'all. That's and the kangaroo paint for the Mark 1 Jeep coming out on Australia Day was hilarious.
I bought that. That got me. I had to, no choice. I had to get it.
That's a big hook for those Australian players. Oh, we get our own paint? That's great. Sold. I'm frustrated with kangaroo in it. It's difficult to master. And it's so stinking pervasive in the game. If you only saw it in Adventure, I would be less annoyed by it. If you only saw it in Time Trials, I would be less annoyed. But it's everywhere. It's in team events. It's in public events. It's in Adventure. It's in Time Trial. And not only is it an Adventure, there are some maps where you cannot get beyond a certain point without Kangaroo.
Yep.
Now, that would be great if you're good at Kangaroo, but I find that Kangaroo to be like the most divisive strategy in the game. You're either good at it or you suck at it, like I do.
I've always sucked at it, but the last 3 or 4 months, I have pushed myself to get better at it by doing daily cups just for fun. I've been doing all my daily cups with Kangaroo setup on a mixture of vehicles, and I'm learning that Kangaroo on a Jeep is different to using super diesel, and it's different again, like when you extend the legs and when you hit the buttons. And it might just be the fact that I'm old and my reaction time is terrible. I've just found that certain vehicles are different the way you use or the way you play with setup, and then you know the main four settings change for every vehicle. Some you need springs to be high, some you need springs to be low. It's painful. It's very painful.
I have taken in the last 6 months to really practicing it heavily and getting Mark 1 and the CCEV in particular. Yep. And I think part of it, it's absolutely genius that they've stumbled upon something that can be done as a beginner very badly, as an intermediate okay. And you get to pro level Kangaroo and they are doing ungodly things with this strategy. So I think it's genius that they've stumbled upon a super pro level strategy.
So while we're recording, we've got some people listening in the background, and Dreddy, who's been on the show before, has mentioned that apparently it was Leo Liu who discovered Kanga.
Listen to Dreddy, for he is wise.
that once you get good at it, it's sky's the limit. And then we've got people like Eric doing 140 KMs on Desert Valley and, you know, just insane long distance adventure runs using Kangaroo. And then you see people doing, you know, the hugely insane Kangaroo time trials. So, like, I'm kind of annoyed on how pervasive it is, but it's slightly genius on how pervasive it is, too. And it's like, it's what Reese said. Get good.
The other thing Reese said was, he used this a couple of times, that it would break the game. Like, because it makes the game, you know, inverted commas, easier to you know, to get coins and stuff like that, to collect coins. But it's not easy.
It is not easy, and I've been struggling for 2 years, and it's only in the last 6 months or so that I feel like I'm getting kind of intermediate level. I am not a champ by any stretch. I want to be, but dang, is it? It's not easy.
I think I'm in the same category as you there, Cthulhu, in regards to it. I mean, I've improved as well, but I'm definitely not that up there as well, Kangaroo. Cthulhu, this is from Delay. Or I think that's how you pronounce it, Delay or Delay. He's a community member in the OzSZ community server. Favorite paint and favorite cup?
Favorite paint is the Lion Rally paint. And it's the one that nobody had forever. And it was the first paint I asked to be unlocked when I made pick three. My favorite cup is probably Bumpy Ride Cup, only because of my affiliations with the tracks.
Yeah, that's a good cup. It's quick and short, and yeah, you can memorize it pretty well too, so it's a great cup.
The first two tracks are dynamite tractor tracks.
Yeah. You know, I haven't actually given them a go in the tractors all sorts, but I love them in the Super Diesel and the Rotator and a few other good vehicles like that as well.
So I have a question from Cap A. What other vehicles do you play besides the tractor?
Yeah, I play a tractor an awful lot, and he calls me out on it all the time. I love the CCEV. It's become one of my favorite vehicles. I think it's dynamite in adventure. It's such a good adventure vehicle. So you've got Kangaroo setup in adventure is great, and I like the Wings Wheelie Boost Coin Boost setup for adventure. It's just so good. I loved the Rally. Was my first vehicle that I really loved in the game, but I don't find I use it very much anymore. In cups, I run a lot of cups with Hot Rod and Rotator. Hot Rod is excellent for cup races.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I use it a lot too.
I agree with that too as well. I use it as well. We have a question from one of our team members in the server, and who's also listening right now live. Velcrin has a question for you. How's life in Portland, and what type of places do you like in your city or elsewhere? I think we may have touched on this before, but yeah, if you want to maybe expand on it a little bit more.
That's cool. We did touch on it before, but I'm very much a forest elf, so I do an awful lot of camping. We have an awful lot of waterfalls and a lot of water hot springs. We have the Pacific Ocean an hour west. We have some of the best art museums in the country that are free every first Thursday of the month. Lots of good dance, electronic dance music venues. So lots of fun stuff to be had. But I like to be outdoors as much as possible.
Yeah, very good. Now we got to get out and enjoy the outdoors. That's for sure. We all got to get some fresh air every now and then, don't we? Probably do one more round of questions, and then we'll probably start to wrap things up.
Absolutely. All right, I've got one from OzNZ Boss. What are the in-game perks of being pit crew, and do you get all the skins and paints for free?
There are quite a few perks. We do get all the skins and paints if we want them. Some people choose to still unlock them as they go. We get VIP. That's included as being pit crew. That's one of those things we can talk about. There was a big to-do about pit crew getting pit crew boxes earlier in the year, at the end of last year, actually. So we get a big box of swag. That's very awesome to get a box of stuff from Finland. I got a hat and a hoodie with my Cthulhu. My name is on the sleeve. It's freaking awesome. You know, we have access to updates as soon as they're live. we get to have those access to be able to do stuff with the community and, like, you know, do live streams and YouTube channels, and some have Reese come in sometimes and give away stuff and, you know, do giveaways on our own. That's really a lot of fun. I'm trying to think what else we have as a perk, but that pretty much covers the bases.
Yeah, awesome.
Speaking about your giveaways and live stream, we're going to link your live stream and your YouTube channel to this to this podcast episode,
perfect.
So that people can find you on all the other things. If you wanted to, you know, if you've got an Instagram account or something like that, you can always tell us what that is. We can all follow you as well.
Yep, I do have an Instagram account that is very eclectic. I warn you now, my life is very strange and eclectic, but there's a lot of HCR2 stuff on there. So I can give you all links for after the podcast too.
Cool.
Very good. Have you got one more for Cthulhu?
I do. This is from MW Cole. What's your vision for the future of the game? And he also says, congratulations on your max GP.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Cole is a good guy. I've been on his podcast and raced with him quite a bit. Vision for the future, I think, you know, with the introduction of animations, it's going to be interesting as far as customization. I have a feeling that we're going to see HCR3, like, soonish, being, like, maybe late 2022, early 2023.
I've been estimating it would be coming out soon.
I would love to see some sort of tie-in between HCR2 and HCR3. Even though we have know nothing about HCR3, it'd be nice to have some sort of tie-in or continuation of our accounts from one to the other. I can easily foresee them releasing a vehicle or two every year. And they're going to have to reach a point where they'll realize, you know, vehicle saturation will kill the new players. But I don't know. I think there's going to be a continuation of support for HCR2 forever. And we'll see how far they develop it. And I hope to see some transition into HCR3 and have maybe them be tied together somehow, but differently, distinctly different games. It'd be nice to be able to play one or the other or both and not feel like you have to.
Yeah, fair, exactly.
I mean, I started playing HCR1 back in the day and then moved to HCR2, but, you know, I'm still seeing updates for HCR1. Updates, mm-hmm. New vehicles and all that sort of stuff, so... You know, the history shows that they're interested in their players and they're interested in their community. So if they do make a HCR3, I don't think they're going to let HCR2 just stop.
No. And I'll point out, this is an interesting statistic. The two of the most popular videos on my YouTube channel, one of them is an HCR1 video. And the other is actually a just in time for the soccer football event, is a bucket slap with the tractor, long kick.
Yeah, I love the long kick. That's one of my favorites. That's coming.
So HCR1 still has a vast audience. It's hugely popular, so it's really mind-blowing.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't got pretty far with HCR1. I did download it. I played it for a while, but I didn't get too far, to be honest. Got one last question, Oz and Zed LTR, the team. His name is Obsurdian. Why did you want to become part of our podcast, and how did you find Oz and Zed?
Awesome. I kind of touched on it earlier, but I wanted to be on the podcast because GTR asked me.
I did, yeah. And wanted to ask you for a while, but yeah.
I actually considered it would be a cool podcast to be on. I didn't actively seek it, but, like, I found out about the podcast early and had listened to an episode or two, and then I got wind through Reese that he was going to be appearing, and I'm like, oh, that's huge, that's cool. That means they're really getting their feet underneath them. And by the third episode, you guys really had your format down. So then you came in real strong on Reese's episode, and then you've just been running ever since. So, like, I've been kind of been, like, I got tuned into the Oz and Zed crowd early through various servers as being one of the teams that would be straight up playing straight, no cheating. These guys are legit. You can trust that these guys are playing straight and all the teams and all the players are going to be straight. So, like, I love that. I want to build a community of non-cheaters. I want to promote those communities more than anything else. And, like, I really love that. So I was like, okay, well, I'm hearing enough people say, mention AuzNZ having that reputation, and then, like, found out you had a server. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to join their Discord server. And I'm like, oh, you've got a podcast. I want to listen to podcasts. So, like, I love podcasts, so they're great. So that's how I kind of got familiar with AuzNZ community. And it's a part of the world I would love to visit someday. I've never been. So it's like, what's not to love about it?
You're welcome down here anytime. Yeah, it's a great part of the world to live in. But
bear in mind that our mountains are nowhere near anything like that.
True. But you have other
cool stuff. We have a big rock in the middle of our country.
It's not very tall.
It's not very tall. It's more sacred than anything, but it's not very tall. That's right.
I don't think the public can access that anymore.
Yeah, no, I think it's been closed off as well. I think, yes, Alpha's right, I think. Probably time to start probably wrapping a few things up. Does anyone have anything more to say to Cthulhu before we start wrapping?
I just wanted to say it's been great chatting to you. It's great to hear your involvement in the community. That, to me, is one of the biggest parts of, you know, why I'm on AuzNZ and, you know, the community is key and all that sort of stuff. And I really appreciate what you do for us. And in terms of, when I say us, I mean all of us players, not just us. It's great to have people we can look up to and who give back to the community. It's awesome.
Thank you for that. That was awesome.
Yeah, here. Yeah, no, thanks for everything that you do for the community worldwide, mate. It's certainly very appreciated. And yeah, it's great to have you on the show. And you're welcome back anytime.
Awesome.
All right. Any shout-outs you want to give Cthulhu to the community or anyone in particular? Go for it, mate.
Oh, absolutely. Shout-out to the entire AuzNZ server. It's been fun hanging out. My props to 42 Points, one of the first people I met in HCR2 world and befriended, and he is an awesome, awesome Australian. Tessa Cat and Raven on my team. Great little team in CC Division 1, not CC League, Division 1, TNT. It's a great little team, great team leader. It's a lot of community fun. And then everybody on the FS server, those of you who behave. And thanks for having me on the show.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for coming on. And a big shout out to 42 as well. He's a loved member of our community as well. He left the server quite a while ago to focus on real life stuff. But he is welcome back anytime, mate. So if you're listening, 42, pop back in, mate. We'd love to see you again. Okay, that's pretty much about it. Thanks for coming on again, mate. We'll see you in 2 weeks. All right, so the next guest on the podcast will be none other than the French superstar. Velcrin is going to be on the show in 2 weeks. We can't wait to talk to her. And yeah, 100%. So Velky is currently in our first team, in Team 1 in Division CC. So we can't wait to talk to her, and it's going to be a wonderful episode that, talk all things France, I suppose, won't we?
Yes, I'm going to have to brush up on my French.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to have to pardon my French.
It's going to be a good one. No, we can't wait to talk to Velky. So in a month's time, well, that's going to be, I'll give you a little bit of a clue. That person is another Pit Crew member. We have another Pit Crew coming on the show. Who is it? Well, you'll find out soon, next episode. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming on. And any last comments before we go? All right. So, yeah, so coming on next week, we got Pit Crew member Velky, and after that will be another Pit Crew member as well. So put your guesses in the channel, and, yeah, we'll have some fun with it. There's not many to go through anyway, so you can just, guess some more if you want. Thanks for coming on, guys. Thanks Eva. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Alpha, as usual. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. And once again, thanks, Cthulhu. Great episode, and it's been a pleasure.